It's great to be here. It's still so real, everything that has happened in the last 3 months, and it's great to be here. I'd like to say before I speak in English, I usually preach in Spanish, that I hope my accent will not be a distraction, but will be a reminder of the unity that we have in Jesus. And from every nation, every ethnic, we will worship God in His throne. Great to be here with the Siever family. And being called a man by Mike is very meaningful. Because I really respect Mike as a leader, and I want to learn more and more from him. I can be super intense. I'm almost like Piper kind of guy, like very intense in everything in life. And I need people like Mike that are very intentional leaders, but can have, I think, like a more southerner kind of leadership, a little more laid back in the intentionality. And it's always helpful to hear from him. Because sometimes I can be very caught up in my how intense I can be. Great to be with my family. We love coming down here. We are fleeing away from the People's Republic of Montgomery County to experience some freedom down here in South Carolina. We are in unique times. In the last 3 months, the world that we live is changing, minute by minute, almost hour by hour, and we can create cultures in response to what is happening. And we can create cultures in the church in response to what is happening. We have been tempted through many years to put the identity of our churches in different things. We can be the family church. We can be the excellent church. We do everything excellent. We can be the helping the mentally ill church. We can be the social justice church. But at the end, I think we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, that we need a gospel culture in our churches. What needs to define what we are is the gospel. Because if we change the gospel for other things, those things will become the gospel. And at the end, we will lose the gospel. If our causes, if the things that identify us as church, what gives significance to our church, is not the gospel, those things will become what identify our church and will actually divide us. Because we will stop being part of the body of Christ. So we need a culture of grace to have unity in the church so that we can be the most welcoming people in the world because we have something that is real. We have true unity. So if we need a culture in our churches, in our gathering, it's a culture of grace that people from all backgrounds, and when I say backgrounds, don't think color of skin, all type of sin that they bring from their background. We all have sin in different ways. And when we come and we gather, we experience the gospel and the unity in a community that is identified by the culture of the grace of God. What gives us identity, brothers or sisters, is not how we look, it's not how we dress, if not we use flip-flops to come to church, which can be questionable, but I'm going to leave it there. What gives us identity is the reality that we are all represented by Adam. And because of that, we have something that we all have in common. It's our sin. But for those their eyes have been opened to the reality of Jesus Christ, we have something that unites us, which is we are now new in Him. And we can have real unity. Not based in something that we like, not based on where we're from, not based that we can have like a culture kind of, you guys have like a kind of like a ocean culture, you know, like close to the ocean kind of culture, things like that. That's not what unites us. It's the reality that we are one in Jesus Christ. A gospel-centered community is a community that is united by the grace of God. So let's read the Word of God, which is the most important part of this sermon. He's asking me to preach in half an hour. That is like torture for a Hispanic, but we will try to do it. This is the Word of God. which is perfect, and it's all that we need for our lives and faith. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be one, to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and to all in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. This is the word of our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in these uncertain times, knowing that we have certainty in you, the certainty and hope that only the gospel can give, and that we don't put hope in politicians, we don't put hope in how our state responds, if we are conservative, liberals, we don't put hope in none of that, Lord. We put our hope in you, in your finished work on the cross for our behalf, and the reality that one day you will do all justice. So speak to your people as we gather and we become your temple where you dwell. This is our prayer. In your name we pray. Amen. And amen. So Mike told me that last week you guys spoke that you can do things through the flesh and you can do things through the Spirit. And I think that this passage that we're going to see is that at the end, the Spirit unites us as a gospel community to do His work through the Spirit. And as he told you in Ephesians, we see this aspect that we were dead. Brothers and sisters, we were dead. We couldn't give CPR to ourselves. We were done. And Christ opened our eyes. The Spirit make us look and see the beauty of the gospel. And because of that, Ephesians 2 has been a passage has been meditating a lot. We are now united. There's not a dividing wall. And there's not a dividing wall between any ethnics. We are one in Christ. What divides us is if we're in Adam or if we are in Christ. And at the end of Ephesians 2, it gives us a great aspect of our unity. We are united because we are in Christ, but we are united also because we, each one of us, we are a brick of the temple. Brothers and sisters, if this is the first time you guys have been here, it's not the four walls. We could have been doing this outside. It's the reality that when this happens every Sunday, something miraculous happened, and the omnipresence God make His presence more real when we're here, and He become the temple. We become the temple where He gathers. So He's here in a special way. When the perfect gospel is preached through imperfect man, God make His presence special within His people. So that gives us unity. That's our hope of unity. Our unity is not the way we look. Our unity is not that we're going to vote for the same person in November. Our unity is not if we're in favor or against things that are happening. Our unity is we are the temple. He dwells among us. So this is what happens right now. I will be saying, "Whoa! He's here right now. He's real right now. He's not like, brothers and sisters, when you're doing the live stream, I'm sorry for you guys because He's not with you the same way that He's here right now. I'm sorry. There's just a reality that when the people of God gather in space and time, He promises to be there. And that gives us a sense of hope and unity. And brothers and sisters, during these times that we're living, more than ever, we need truth to be the thing that kind of guides us through life. We cannot let emotions, we cannot let things that are becoming popular. We need truth. Theology becomes our ethics. What we believe is what makes us act in different ways. And if we need to create a culture of grace, which is our base for unity, we need to believe the truth that will allow us to live that way. Are you following me? Because sometimes I don't follow myself. And I'm going to say a couple of things that matters. And I'm not doing it as a punt. I have preached this sermon before, and I have all these things that matters before. And I'd like to do hashtags. First hashtag. You see the young? Look up when I say hashtag. Oh, he has a hashtag. What we believe matters. Hashtag what we believe matters. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a man in the midst of a time that was unique, and I think we're living in a unique time, that stood up against Nazi Germany when the church was losing its relevance, when the church was tempted to try to earn the approval of the state. And I think we're living similar times right now. And he stood up against Nazi Germany. He actually gave a message about the evils of Hitler like 2 weeks after he took power. So he was way before it was very clear what was happening. He had the discernment to look ahead. And the doctoral dissertation of Dietrich Bonhoeffer was on the unity of the church, the sanctorum communion. His mindset was one about the importance of the gathered church and the priority that gives us identity. It's not our nationality. It's not our flag. It's that we are one in Jesus and we're part of his body. That's our identity. And when we believe that that is our main identity, that we are now people of the kingdom, we are Americans, we are people from South Carolina, you guys are from this area, I'm not from South Carolina, don't worry. That's part of who we are, but that's not what gives us meaning. Our meaning is that we are saved and now we are part of the church. And everything that we do and everything that we motivate us in life should be a kingdom mindset. And the only thing we can get there is if we know that what we believe matters. If we know what we believe matters, we would walk away from the temptation of allowing things of the world to give us identity and culture. And we can create a culture of grace. Brothers and sisters, when the gospel is our priority, then grace is what identifies us. When the gospel is our priority, then grace is what identifies us. So what gives us identity to all believers of all background is the gospel. And the way that works out is through a life full of grace toward others. So we reflect the unity of the gospel when we live in communities that are full of grace. Point number one, we walk in a manner that is worthy. And the way that we walk that way, the way we reflect that, because it sounds very pretty. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Yeah, it sounds very pretty. How does that look? We preserve unity. We work toward unity. Hashtags, you can look up again, grace matters. Hashtag, let grace abound. Hashtag, preserve the unity. Oh, brothers and sisters, when the gospel is our identity, we work toward the unity of the church, and that is seen through grace. Verse number one, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called. I want to start with that first phrase. A prisoner for the Lord. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to them, and he has spent a couple of chapters telling them of the gospel and how the gospel has affected their lives. And now he's moving to the ethical part of the gospel, how the gospel is lived out. And he's going to speak about unity because it seems that there was division between Jews and Gentiles in that church. So he's telling them, the way that you live is because of everything that Christ has done, but you have to reflect it in the manner that you live. And I love that he said, a prisoner for the Lord. What he's telling him is, he was in prison, but he didn't see his prison as the circumstances. He saw him that he was a servant for the Lord. So his identity is not Paul, the apostle, that saw the resurrected Christ in Damascus. No, his identity is, I'm a prisoner. So every circumstance in my life is for the Lord. I live for Him. I belong to Him. I lost all my rights because now I am with Him. And everything I do in life is for Him. So right now, I know sometimes when we start seeing the news, it happens to me, my blood starts boiling. And I need to remember I'm a prisoner of the Lord. It's not about me. It's not about my preference. You know what it's not even about? It's not even about my rights. This week, the Department of Justice sent a letter to the executive of my county. I think we're the most restricted county in the United States in matters of Christian religious freedom. So there's a letter from the DOG to the county executive, and it was sarcastic in tone. It was kind of like, in some ways, humiliating him. And at that moment, I need to guard my heart. Because I can be tempted to be, yeah, that's right. Take that, Mr. Executive. Because I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I lost all my rights. My First Amendment right doesn't change if I don't have it. Because I will preach this gospel no matter what. I would rather preach it in freedom. But that's not my identity. That's not what's going to change what I'm going to do. I would rather have the liberty to do it. But what about our brothers and sisters in China that don't have First Amendment rights? That's not our identity. Our identity now has changed. We're sons and daughters, but we're also prisoners. And we have lost all our rights because now we belong to a king that is a good king for us. He's our Lord. As he's in control of our life. So he's saying, you lose all your rights, so you better be humble. And that's basically the message of this passage. You don't have rights, and somebody doesn't have rights, how they walk? In a very humble manner. In a matter of knowing that everything that they get from the king is grace. So that informs the way that we interact with other people. We should be the humblest of people. Is that an English word, humblest? Yeah. That's okay. You guys got it. Because we don't have rights. And now we're part of a body that is together. And we walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling which you have been called. And again, that sounds very pretty. That's one of the things that we put on a plaque in the kitchen. You know one of those phrases? Walk in a manner worthy. Yes, I want to walk in a manner worthy. You know how that looks? You lose your rights and you love your brother and sister. You give your rights for them. You die to self for unity. You die to your preference for unity. I don't know if to say it, but I'm going to say it. I'm leaving to Hilton Head. I'm going to have a piña colada tomorrow, so Mike can deal with it. So I'm not telling you what to do as a church, but if you have to wear a mask to love other people, you do it because you lose your rights. You have lost your rights. You're now a prisoner. And if you have to love somebody and do that, it's not about my First Amendment right. It's not about tyranny. It's about love. And believe me, I'm glad that I'm in South Carolina, in Myrtle Beach, and I don't have to wear a mask everywhere. But if I have to wear it to love other people, I will do it because it's about loving others. It's about the unity. It's not about making a stand. We make a stand, you know, for what? For unity and love one another. That is a gospel-centered, grace-filled community that is willing to lose their rights for serving and dying for others. The same way that now our Master died for us. And the way that it looks to be walking in a manner worthy of the calling is in humility, gentleness, and patience. So how does it look, this phrase, catchy phrase that we have in our little frames? It's dying to self. It's giving your rights. It's being humble. How are you humble? Consider others greater than yourself. That's gospel living. How are you gentle? It's speaking with love. You know what? I don't have to deal much with the sin of lust. By the grace of God, that's an area that I just don't have. I have to fight it, but it's not like my greatest. You know what is my greatest sin that I have to fight against? It's the sin of stupidity in other people that make me angry. And right now I see the news and I see a lot of that. But here he says I need to be gentle. So I need to guard my heart in a gospel community on how I speak, even when I think, oh man, these people are not even thinking. It looks like patience, which is long suffering. That patience there is talking about long suffering. It's about you really give your rights for the benefit of others. We need to be in communities that are that way, that people feel welcome. Not because we have a great greeting group, which is great. Not because we have the proper training. It's because it's a trait of who we are. Because we really know that we have lost all of our rights and God has given us so much more. How can we not give our rights for the love and benefit of other people? We can be patient. One example of living in a manner worthy of the gospel, live with me. My wife Kathy is amazing how patient she is with me. How long-suffering she is. We had just spent 13 weeks that I thought I was going to go insane because I've been thinking so deeply about the things happening and it just has affected some dynamics in the home. But you know what? I love how she is patient with me. Every time we go to travel, and we get to travel by air maybe 5-6 times a year, and I just become not a person that is good to be around when I'm in an airport. Joey, don't go like that. I become anxious. It's funny because I travel a lot, but in airports, I'm an industrial engineer before, so I'm all about processes, how things work. So I see, and God loves me so much that the person in front of me in the TSA line is the one person that doesn't take their wallet out, doesn't take their water bottle out of their luggage. It's always that person in front of me because God loves me so much that wants to deal with me. And I get impatient, I'm anxious, and Kathy loves me. She doesn't want to change. She wants to change me. But she expressed grace. And our communities should be communities of grace. Not that we say sin is okay, but that we walk with people as they continue to grow in their walk. It should be a community where people feel accepted as they are accepted in Christ. And what is the end of this gospel-centered mind, this unity? Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what is the reason that we need to walk worthy of the gospel? So we are together, so we are one, we are united. That should be our slogan. We are one people of one God. We should be united as we are united in Christ. So what identifies the church of God? It should be the grace of God. So grace matters, hashtag. Let's grace abound, hashtag. Hashtag preserve the unity. And I have two more points, but they're going to be quick. Point number two, one body. So we walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. How? When we are one body. And guys, theology matters. Look what Paul tells us to remind us to live in this way. He doesn't go and say, guys, don't fight anymore. We want people. You know, that helps more people to come to church. That will be our growth strategy. If we are like one big happy family and we are kumbaya and we gather together, people will come and be part of our church and we will be bigger. theology matters, what we think matters. And he goes to the unity of the gospel. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's reminded us that the one Lord that we save has made us one body through one faith. So what unites us? What we believe. Versus it. I look here and I see so many different backgrounds. And again, I'm not looking ethnically. I'm pretty sure there were people that were raised in church and maybe they were goody-goody all their lives until they realized that they were Pharisees and they needed the gospel. And I'm pretty sure there were people that did all kind of different outrageous sins, which is as outrageous to be a goody-goody that doesn't have the gospel. And God saved them, and we're here. And why we're here? Because of one thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what gives us unity. That is why you can endure my accent for half an hour. You see, because of that reality, we can be communities that reflect grace. And point number three, the reason that we can walk in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, the reason that we have one thing, that we are one body, and the reason that we can see each other at the same level is because each one of us have grace. I want you to look around. I want you to look around. Look around. First of all, it is an amazing miracle to see people around. I'm always excited when I go to churches and I see people that are saved by the grace of God. They could be doing whatever else today, and they're here sitting because God has done something. That is amazing. Don't take that for granted. When you sing with your mask, look around and look at other people singing. We're doing that corporately. We're doing it as a body together. It's amazing the miracle that this temple is here and God has decided to dwell especially among us. Through Scripture, He dwelt in Eden. He dwelt in Sinai. He dwelt in the tabernacle. He dwelt in the temple. He dwelt in Jesus Christ when He came. And now He dwells in His temple, which is His church, when we gather each Sunday. So look around. There's much grace around us. And that is what should propose us. I didn't know I had that word in my vocabulary. Propose us. Move us forward to live in unity. But grace was given to some of you. No, to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Why we can be cultures of grace? Why can we be welcoming? Why can we be united? Not because it is good for the look that we have in the community. Not because we can be then maybe have more money and move to the greater building. That's not what gives you identity. Moving to a greater building or just being more known in the community. What gives us identity is that we are one body. And each one of you, if God has saved you, it's because He has put grace in your life. So each one of us, by the gospel, we have something that gives us true identity. It's the grace of God. Look around. Look around and see the grace that is abounding in this place. And that is what are going to allow us to be communities of grace that can have people from different backgrounds, from different stories, come together. So what we believe matters. Because the church matters. Because unity matters. Because in the end, only Jesus Christ matters. To get to unity, we need truth to change our hearts. And to repent of ways that we have seen unity maybe as something that we can build. Only Christ can bring unity. Let us run to Him in these times. And let us be communities that people can see. What a blessing is to have grace in the reality that we have one Savior, we have one faith, we have something in common. We are the temple of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we live in difficult times. I do believe that the unity of the church has to be a top priority. And I think right now we can allow secondary things to really tear us apart. Things like how we respond to COVID, things how we respond to the racial tension. And we need to think through those things. I'm not telling you we forget about them. But because we are full of grace, we can extend grace to others. We can be patient to one another. And we can be united in the reality that we're the temple where He dwells. Let us, by the grace of God, live that through so that the world could see real unity in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for Your grace and Your mercy toward us. What an amazing miracle. It is unbelievable to think that I'm here with my background coming from the Caribbean. Mike came from the Midwest. We have a guy that was a missionary in the Bahamas and came from the Midwest. We have people from different backgrounds and different stories. But we have something in common. You intervene in our story. Lord, we ask You that You reveal to our hearts how maybe we have not been careful in nurturing the unity of the church. Even decisions on when we should gather, should we wait? And let us rally in the reality that You died for our sins, and because of that, we are one in Christ. And that will give us true sense of unity and hope for the future. In Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.
Thank you. Thank you so much for serving us in that way. Church family, just encourage us to spend time in Ephesians 4 this week, reading it with your family or just reading it personally. And we're going to end the live stream now. We're grateful for you, church family. Don't forget, next week we're opening up a little bit more, so we'd love to see the church family together who feels comfortable. We're also going to have overflow in the cafeteria. But we're going to now end the live stream, and we love you guys, and we hope to see you next week.